in learning to be led by the Spirit and to operate the power of God, we have been learning and going through this formula for spiritual power in a very in-depth, a very detailed manner. And you remember that the formula is grace and love, which we talked about quite extensively. Grace and love times spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith equals or produces spiritual power, which would be signs and wonders, workings of miracles, gifts of healings. Now, we've talked about spiritual utterance, and we've talked about spiritual knowledge in light of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Now we want to talk about spiritual faith. And we need to understand some things about faith and really develop our understanding, our application of it, so that we can walk with the power of God. This is the crucial factor in the life of the believer, is faith. God requires faith. It is a spiritual principle. You see, when it comes to revelation, your operation is to reach out and take it, to earnestly seek it, to ask and to reach out and to take it as the Lord gives it to you. Then your responsibility is to believe that revelation and act upon it.
See?
You see, faith is a spiritual principle. It's above the understanding of the mind or the body. It's not a soulish principle. It's not a fleshly principle. It's a spirit principle. And faith is required by God. God requires faith from all of His people in order not to overstep their freedom of will. God will not force things upon you. That's right. Only what you accept by faith is what He will give you in your life. Now, God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God at times can sovereignly move. But in the lives of His people, He requires faith in order to receive the promises of God. In fact, a lack of faith can shut down the operation of the power of God. Look at Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, and in verse 58 it says, "And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief," their lack of faith, their lack of faith. Jesus could do no mighty works there in His own hometown, in His own home area. He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief shut down the power and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in that area. That's right. You see, faith is knowing the will of God, accepting it to be true, and then acting with confident expectation of seeing it manifested. Faith is knowing the will of God. That's where word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits comes in. You believe that revelation. You accept it. Then you act on it. You act on it with confident expectation that God will bring it to pass.
See?
You act on it. In Hebrews chapter 11, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." One translation puts it, "Faith is the title deed of things prayed for, the evidence they are yours before they are seen." You see, once God has shown you something is available, then you hold on to that. You absolutely believe that. You refuse to doubt. You refuse to consider any other options. You absolutely hold on to that revelation and act upon it. And that faith will produce spiritual power. That's right. You will see the results. If I know something's the will of God, the great thing for me and with my faith is really discerning what is the will of God. Because once I get convinced, once I'm sure that something's the will of God, I absolutely have no doubt about it. I just see it come to pass. And time after time after time, year after year, I've seen miracle after miracle because once I knew the will of God, once I was absolutely sure of the will of God, I just hung on to that thing. I grabbed a hold of it. I accepted it and I anticipated it. I saw it coming to pass, and it always would. That's right. That's why we study the Word of God. The Word of God reveals the will of God. The Word of God reveals the will of God. And when we find that promise of God in the Word that meets our need, we accept it by faith. We accept it and we anticipate it coming to pass, and we refuse to doubt. We just and absolutely know that the will of God is going to come to pass. And it does, time after time. Also, when we receive revelation, we know that that's the will of God. We know that that thing that He has shown us by revelation is the will of God. So we command it to come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a difference between the faith that's required to receive the written Word of God and the faith that's required to receive that which is given by revelation. There's two types of faith. That's right. But faith is required by God in order to receive the promises of God, whether they're in the written word or whether they come by revelation. It is the requirement is faith in order to receive the promises of God. In fact, your life and mine cannot be pleasing to God unless we do believe God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God is. God is. He is a faithful God. He is a true God. He is. He is a present tense living reality. He's not a God of the future. Well, He is God of the future. And He's been God in the past, but today, right now, wherever you are, God is. He is a present tense reality. And His power is just as great today, right now, at this moment. His power is just as great as it's been ever since the creation, or it ever will be into the future. He is as much God now. He is as much God now, right now, wherever you are, in whatever situation you're in. He is God, and His power is available. And He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's right. That's faith. That's faith. When we know that God is, that He is a present tense, awesome, unbelievable reality. When we know that He is, then we have faith to see His promises and to see His power come to manifestation. You need to understand that the promises of God are all of His. They are His idea. You know, we did not set up or write out these promises and say, "God, now I want you to fulfill these things that I have written out." No, He had His Word written. It was His idea. He had His Word written. And when we trust His Word, He's able to bring it to pass because He is. When He gives revelation, that's His idea. That's what He wants done. We don't squeeze revelation out of God. We don't demand revelation out of God. God gives us revelation, and then that revelation that He gives is His idea. It's His will. See? That's right. And He is. He is a faithful rewarder of those who seek Him. He will faithfully reward you. Now, we need to learn these two types of faith and how to apply them in our lives. Because many times what we lack, we receive revelation, or we even have the written word and we receive that, but we lack the faith in order to see the power of God in manifestation. This is the crucial manifestation that determines the outcome of the power of God in your life. That's right. Now, there are two types of faith, or two kinds of faith in the Word of God. One is called your faith. Your faith. And your faith comes out of your soul, praise the Lord. And then the other faith that's described in the Word of God is called spiritual faith or the faith of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't come out of your soul, it comes out of your spirit. Now, your faith. Let's talk about your faith for a minute, because your faith is very important. Your faith comes out of your soul as your soul receives the Word of God and you begin to believe it, you begin to accept it, you begin to apply it in your life. Then by your faith, you receive the promises of God. That's right. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, talking about the Roman church, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. These believers in Rome had received the Word of God. They had believed that Word. They had believed it. And the fame of their faith, the evidence of their faith and how they saw God work was made known all over the world. Everybody heard about it. See? That's your faith. That's your faith. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Most of the move of Christianity all over the world has been done by people's faith. See? Because they haven't known about or really tapped into the greater power of faith, which is spiritual faith. And because people have read the Word of God and they've acted upon it with their faith, they have done great things for God. You know, your faith is very wonderful. It can be very powerful. But your faith comes out of your soul. There is a greater faith. There is a more powerful faith that you and I can tap into. That's called spiritual faith or the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, we need our faith. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 5, it says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, even our faith that comes out of our souls is not built upon the philosophy or the wisdom of men. Our faith as Christians is built upon the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, say according to verse 4. Our faith is built upon the written Word and then the demonstration of that Word as people apply it and walk in it. That's right. You see, Jesus required faith. He required faith for healing. This faith, your faith, is what empowers your prayers. And this faith can grow or it can wane, it can weaken. But Jesus required faith on the part of the people to whom he ministered in receiving their healing or receiving their blessing. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, glory to God. In verse 29 says, Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. In verse 27, it says, When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Look at this question by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Yes, our faith believes that you can do this. We, by our faith, we believe you can do this, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And it says in verse 30, their faith must have been pretty strong. Because it says in verse 30, And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man knoweth it. You see, Jesus required faith on the part of the people who were receiving the blessings of God through his ministry, through healing, and through the other miraculous things that he did. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You see, you have faith. You have your faith. Now, your faith can and should and will grow. It will grow. That's right. Your faith can weaken if you don't keep it growing. Your faith can weaken. That's right.
We want to grow our faith. We want our faith to grow in our soul. That's right, Luke chapter 8. And in verse 25, here was this great situation. We'll just start reading here in verse 22. And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, "Let us go unto the other side of the lake." There was the promise. There was his statement. And they launched forth, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy, and came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Jesus had told them that they were going to go over unto the other side of the lake. They should have believed the Lord Jesus Christ even in the midst of the circumstances that they were in. They had to wake him up and everything. And so he rebuked them. He says, "Look, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I gave you the promise of God. I gave you the statement that we are going to go to the other side of the lake. Where is your faith?" See? How many times have we read in the Word of God, "My God shall supply all your need"? And then when the circumstances come up and we don't think we're going to have our needs met, we get all upset and we cry out, "Master, Master, we perish." Well, the Lord Jesus says to us, he says, "Where is your faith, brother? Where is your faith?" He expects faith when he gives the promise. That's right. Because in order to receive the promise of God, we must have faith. That's right. God requires faith from his people. And Jesus confronted him. He said, "Where is your faith?" Glory to God. You see, Jesus used wisdom in building people's faith. In Matthew, he asked the two blind men. He asked a question regarding faith. He said, "Do you believe? Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And then they gave a positive confirmation, a positive affirmation that they believed Jesus was able to minister to them. They said, "Yes, Lord." And when he knew that their faith was there, then he ministered to them. He said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. They were healed. That's all they needed. Here in Luke, he asks a question challenging their faith. He had given them the promise of God. He had given them the statement that he, as the Son of God, as the Word of God had spoken, he said, "Look, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. So why get upset? Because the wind is up, or because the rain is up, or because the waves are up. See, we're going to the other side of the lake." And they didn't believe that. They didn't believe that. That's why they woke him up. And that's why he rebuked him with that question. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? You see, in the ministry of doing and operating the power of God amongst God's people, you have to learn how to build their faith. You have to learn how to build their faith. Many times when I minister healing to somebody, or before I minister healing to somebody, I'll ask them the question, "Do you believe God will heal you if I pray for you? Do you believe God will heal you if I pray for you?" And if they say yes, then I know their faith is to such a degree that I can minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. But if they say no, or if they say, "Well, I'm going to try it out," or "It might work," all those are negative statements. Those negative statements tells me that their faith is not sufficient in order for me to be able to pray and minister healing to them in the name of Jesus Christ. See? So what I do with them before I minister to them is I'll take time sharing the Word with them, sharing words that build faith in their life so that they can say, "Yes, sir. Yes, I believe God will heal me when you pray for me." See, we need to learn to grow in wisdom so that we build faith in the people to whom we're ministering. We need to learn how to grow in wisdom so that we build faith, so that people receive the promises of God. because God requires faith in order to receive any of His promises. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This subject and this study of faith is crucial in the lives of God's people. And if you're a minister and you're going to minister effectively to God's people, you have to learn how to build their faith. And that's why we covered the subject of spiritual utterance. Because remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, learning to say the right words at the right time, not premeditating what you're going to say, but allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. Sure, you've studied the Word. Sure, you've spent time in prayer. But when you get into that situation, you just open your mouth and you be led by the Spirit so that you speak words that build faith. See, you pray, Lord, give me words that build faith. Lord, give me words that build faith so that I can help this person, so that the power of God can be released in their life. That's right. Here in verse 5, the apostles said unto Jesus, Lord, they said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, how does your faith increase? Well, we have a saying here in America. If you want to stay warm, stay close to the fire. That's right. If you want to stay warm, stay close to the fire. In other words, stay close to people who are operating in the ministry of the Spirit. Stay close to people and in situations where the power of God is in manifestation. If you're around a group of people who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, who don't believe in the power of God, you're going to become just like they are. You're going to become just like they are, because there's a law of influence in the environment with which we're surrounded. We are influenced by the environment with which we're surrounded. So if I want to stay warm, I want to stay close to the fire. I'm going to stay close to people who are operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to stay close to people who believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stay close and in situations where the power of God is in manifestation. And then, most importantly, I'm going to stay close to the Lord because He is the fire. That's right. He is the fire. And if I want to stay warm, I have to stay close to the fire. And as I stay close to Him, trusting Him with all my heart, not trying to figure everything out, acknowledging Him in all my ways, 20, 30, 40, 50 times a day, acknowledging Him, He shall direct my paths, and He shall keep me on fire. He shall keep me moving in the Spirit. And as I move in the Spirit, and as I grow in the Spirit, and as I try things out, my confidence, my faith grows. I trust your faith has grown since you started listening to tape number one. Why? Because you've been close to the fire. You've been close to the fire of the Holy Spirit. You've gotten closer to the Lord. You've tried things out. Perhaps you spoke in tongues for the first time. Perhaps you interpreted for the first time. Perhaps you prophesied for the first time as you listened to these tapes and as you believed the Word of God and applied it in your life. That built faith. That built faith. See, perhaps you've received release from a curse. Or perhaps sin that had been burdening your life has been taken away as you repented and as you came to the Lord with all your heart. See, those things build faith. They build faith. That's right. Stay close to the fire if you want your faith to grow. Stay close to the fire, because faith is a measurable thing. Is a measurable thing. And as your faith grows, you see more and more of the promises of God. At times, your faith needs to grow quite a bit for you to get over a certain obstacle in your life. That's right. That's why sometimes you need to continue in prayer for even weeks at a time or months at a time for a certain thing. But just keep building your faith. Just keep building your faith, because eventually your faith is going to grow big enough that you overcome that obstacle. Glory to God. See, just
Stay close to the fire. If you want to stay warm, stay close to the fire. Glory to God. Jesus is the fire. And wherever the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit is in manifestation, that's where I want to be. But if I'm around people who don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, who don't operate the Spirit, I don't want to be around those people because they'll just draw off the fire that I have. And they'll cause me to become as cold as they are. That's right. The Lord said, verse 6, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, what Jesus was beginning to teach them here about was about spiritual faith. There's a difference between your faith and spiritual faith. Your faith is wonderful, and it's powerful, and it grows. But there is a greater faith. There is a greater power of God that you can learn to tap into because it doesn't come from your soul. It comes from the Holy Spirit indwelling your spirit, see? And this greater faith is spiritual faith or the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. It says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. You see, the faith of Jesus Christ comes into your spirit when you receive the Holy Spirit. And as I hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that word of the Lord Jesus Christ builds my faith in my soul. And then as I turn to Him, and as I believe on Him, then He fills me with His spiritual faith. He fills me with spiritual faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ. And with the faith of Jesus Christ comes the righteousness of God. Glory to God. That's right. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all. In other words, it comes to all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. You see, when I first heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, I had no spiritual faith. I had no spiritual faith. Because spiritual faith came to me just as at the same time when it came to you. When you receive Jesus in salvation, when you receive Jesus as your Lord in salvation, He gave you His righteousness. When He put the Holy Spirit within you, He gave you His righteousness. He gave you His faith. He gave you the ability to operate all nine of the manifestations of the Spirit. He gave you the ability to flow in all nine of the gifts. That's right. All these things came into you when the Holy Spirit came in, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and believed in your heart God raised Him from the dead. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and you were filled with the power of God, you changed from a man who had to live by his own faith to a man or a woman who could be filled with the faith of God, the power of God, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in, when you accept Jesus as your Lord in salvation, He fills you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now, you may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit yet because you haven't spoken in tongues yet, but every believer, everyone who accepts Jesus as their Lord, has the Holy Spirit within their spirit, and they have the power potential to speak in tongues, to interpret, to prophesy, to operate word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. They have the righteousness of God within, and they also have the faith of Jesus Christ, or spiritual faith. That's right. And it's this spiritual faith that has brought us peace with God. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That faith is not your faith, because your faith never accomplished anything before you were saved. It never accomplished anything inside of God. Your salvation came by grace. Your salvation came by grace through the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you received Him, and He brought in His faith, which brought in the righteousness of God and brought in the justification of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Glory to God. And see, we've been filled with this wonderful spiritual faith that enables us to live powerfully. It enables us to live the more abundant life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We believed with our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ out of our souls. And then because of that believing, He came in and filled us with the Holy Spirit. He brought in all those things. The Holy Spirit brought in all those things that we talked about. The righteousness, the justification. He brought in the faith of Jesus Christ. He brought in spiritual faith. See, now we have faith that comes not from our souls, but from our spirits. We still have faith in our souls. We still have our faith, which is in our souls. But we also have the opportunity to use and utilize spiritual faith that doesn't come from our souls, it comes from our spirits. See? Two types of faith resident within you that you can operate and that you can walk in. If we want to walk with the power of God, more and more we have to walk with the faith of Jesus Christ. We have to use spiritual faith. That's right. Galatians chapter 2. And in verse 20 it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, Paul said he lived his life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God, who loved him and gave Himself for him. See, he learned to utilize spiritual faith. He learned to utilize the faith of Jesus Christ in his day-by-day living. Now, I'm going to teach you in this class how to utilize spiritual faith so that that formula can be complete, so that you can see the power of God in manifestation. Now, spiritual faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 9, let's go there. We've seen this listing of the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit time and again, but we want to look at it again to see where in the list is faith. And this is spiritual faith. It says in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another faith. It's listed third in the listing of the nine manifestations or gifts of the Spirit. It's listed third. Why? Because faith brings completeness. Three is the number for completeness. You got three members of the Godhead. You got three parts to the human body. You know, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Three is the number for completeness and strength. See? Three is the number for completeness. And what faith does, what spiritual faith does, it completes the spiritual formula for power. Grace and love times spiritual knowledge or spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith brings spiritual power. You have the utterance, you have the knowledge, all those things you've done in grace and love. Now what brings completeness in bringing the power of God to manifestation is spiritual faith. See? Spiritual faith. Now, how do I operate spiritual faith? Just like Paul says, he lived his life
in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved him. How do I operate spiritual faith? Well, spiritual faith is operated by a command. It's operated by a command as you are led by the Spirit. As you are led by the Spirit. Now, this takes a real discipline on the part of most people, because most times, even when they receive revelation, most Christians have the tendency to still pray for God to bring His Word to pass rather than commanding it to come to pass. When you pray prayers with your faith, then you ask God to do things. But when God has shown you things by revelation and He wants you to use His faith, then you don't ask Him to deal with it. You deal with it with your spiritual authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and you command it to come to pass. See, the difference between your faith and the faith of Jesus Christ or spiritual faith is that your faith is operated by request, by your requests. Spiritual faith is operated by commands. See, by a command. Mark chapter 11. And most of us are not used to giving commands. But if we're going to be kings and priests, if we're going to walk with the power of God, then we have to learn how to command that power of God to come into manifestation. That's right. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. In verse 12 it says, "And on the morrow, when they came to Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it," he spoke to it, he commanded this tree. He said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." He spoke a declaration, and it was a command. It was a command. He commanded that tree to die. That's right. And it says in verse 20, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." That command went forth as a curse. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Or the text more literally reads, "Have the faith of God." Have God's faith. Have the faith of Jesus Christ in manifestation. Not your faith. It doesn't say operate your faith. It says have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," and the word "say" in the Greek is the word "command." It's the word "demand." It's the word "command." "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That's right. That is spiritual faith. That is spiritual faith. Now, how do I know that God wants, that God's going to release the power? Listen. How do I know that God is going to release the power to move that mountain and throw it into the sea? The reason why I know that God is going to release the power to move that mountain is because by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, by spiritual knowledge, He has shown me that that is His will. When I know His will by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, by spiritual knowledge, then I have the right and the permission to use spiritual faith to command that thing to come to pass. That's right. That's exactly right. If God has said that the mountain is to be moved and thrown into the sea, I say to that mountain, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be moved and thrown into the sea. And guess what will happen? That mountain will move. That's right. Because I'm using spiritual faith. I'm using spiritual faith, which is a faith greater than that faith that comes out of my soul. It's tapping into the power of God that created the heavens and the earth. That's right. And Paul, this wasn't just a once-in-a-lifetime thing
Jesus or for Paul. Paul said that he lived his life in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus wanted all of his disciples to operate this kind of faith on a regular basis. That's right, as they were led by the Spirit. You know, if you haven't seen very many miracles in your life, it's because you haven't operated spiritual faith. When you begin to operate spiritual faith the way I'm teaching it to you, you will have so many miracles happen to you that you will lose track of who you healed, of what happened when.
See?
Before I learned about spiritual faith and operating the power of God, I remember, years ago I had this one miracle happen to me. And then 5 years before that I had another miracle happen to me. And then 5 years before that I had another miracle happen to me. But now, since I've learned to use spiritual faith in the last few years, I've seen so many miracles, I've seen so many deliverances, I've seen so much of the power of God in manifestation, I can't even remember it all. That's right. I can't even begin to remember it all. How many people have been healed? How many miracles have happened? How many things have happened? Why? Because I've finally learned to use spiritual faith, which Jesus wanted all of his disciples to use from the beginning. That's right. Now, when you receive revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, spiritual knowledge, then believe that that revelation is the will of God. Accept it and then command it to come to pass. You speak to the problem and you command it to come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. You command that revelation to come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. You speak to it. You speak to it. Now, most people in their faith are used to asking God for things. But when He shows you something by revelation, don't ask Him to heal it or ask Him to deal with it. You deal with it. You speak to the problem and you command it to be delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Look at Joshua chapter 10. He's given you the authority, and you must use it. Joshua chapter 10. Whenever He gives you revelation, the authority to use spiritual faith always comes with the revelation. That's right. Whenever He gives you revelation, the authority to use spiritual faith always comes as a part of that revelation. That's right. Unless He gives you revelation solely and only for your knowledge. Sometimes He'll give you revelation that He doesn't want you to do anything about. He just wants you to know. But when He shows you something by revelation that you need to act upon, then in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority given to you by God, speak to that problem. Speak to it. Speak to it in the name of Jesus Christ and command the power of God to come into manifestation in that situation. And you'll see a miracle every time. You'll see a miracle every time. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Look at verse 12. Joshua chapter 10. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. He commanded the sun and the moon to stop. He commanded the sun and the moon to stop. He commanded it. Why? Because the Lord had shown him that he needed to do this in order to fulfill the battle. That's right. That's right. They needed the light. They needed the sun to stay up so that they could fulfill the battle. When God hearkened to His voice and He commanded the sun and He commanded the moon to stop, then He had to stop the entire universe. He couldn't just stop the sun and the moon and the earth. Because of the power and the forces of gravity that hold the whole universe together, He had to freeze the whole universe. And it says that He did this for about a day. For about a day. That's right. And you know, even the astronomers have found that there's one day missing in history, that all the clocks and all the calculations and all the calendars and everything else are off by one 24-hour period. Here it is in the book of Joshua, and then the other few minutes that weren't accounted for in the book of Joshua are accounted for in the book of Isaiah with Hezekiah's deliverance. That's right. One day lost in the calendar of the universe. Why? Because God had to stop the whole universe in order for that miracle to happen. You know what that tells me? That tells me that all the power that created the universe is at our disposal when we, by faith, command the revelation to come to pass. That's right. All the power in the universe is at our disposal when we, by faith, command the revelation we have received to come to pass. That's right. Look at Mark, or John, chapter 11. Glory to God. You just need the courage to command things to come to pass. And the courage comes with the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. That's right. It's a complete package. When the Holy Spirit comes in, He brings in the courage of Joshua. That's right. When He comes in, He brings in the righteousness of God. When He comes in, He brings in the faith of Jesus Christ. When He comes in, He brings in the ability to operate and flow in all nine of the gifts of the Spirit. He brings all this in when He comes in. The Father and the Son come in through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You are loaded. The Creator dwells within you. And He has given you the authority to use His power. When He leads you by His Spirit, then you speak in His name and the power will be there. That's right. You speak in His name and the power will be there. In John chapter 11, Jesus showed and demonstrated how to use this kind of spiritual faith as He walked and as He ministered. And in John chapter 11, with the ministry of the raising of Lazarus, He says in verse 9 of John chapter 11, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Here he says, look, if you walk in the light of the day, what is it to walk in the light of the day? It's to walk as you're led by the Holy Spirit. But if you walk in the night, you stumble, because there's no light in you. If you walk by your flesh, then you're going to stumble. See? But if you walk by the Spirit, by the light of the Holy Spirit, then you'll be free to use the power of the Holy Spirit as He leads you to use it. "These things said He," verse 11, "after that He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." He knew that Lazarus was dead. He knew that Lazarus was dead. And He was guided by the Holy Spirit to wait until Lazarus was dead so that He could go and raise him from the dead. And to Jesus, it was just like being asleep. Hallelujah. He was just going to go wake him up. Praise the Lord. You see, when you get an understanding of the power of God, these miracles that you used to think were so impossible, so tremendously awesome, you just begin to see them in the light of the power of God as just being small things, just being easy things. That's right. That's right. Glory to God. Raising somebody from the dead is just like waking them up. Glory to God. It's that same essence of the operation of the power of God. Glory to God. And He went with His disciples. And He went there. And He came to the cave, and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39 says in John chapter 11, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." You see, Jesus had a decisive and commanding presence. You just don't go into somebody's grave and command that the grave be opened. There's all kinds of laws and rules and regulations and everything else about the sealing of graves, and you just didn't do this. But Jesus walked in because of the authority that He had. Because of the authority that He had. And He said, "Take away the stone." And Mary, you know, complained about it a little bit, but they moved the stone. They moved the stone. Martha complained about it. But Jesus, you know, they moved the stone. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was. You have to walk with that kind of confidence. You are His representative. And if He has shown you by something, by revelation, then throw your shoulders back, open your mouth up, and act like a man or a woman of God. Act like a representative of Jesus Christ and speak confidently. Bless your heart. Say, move the stone. Open that grave up. That guy's got to be able to get out. Hallelujah. Then he gets down here to verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was raised. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He commanded Lazarus to get up from the dead. That's how you use spiritual faith. It's a command by what the Lord has shown you by revelation. He knew because he was walking in the light of the Holy Spirit, according to verses 9, 10, and 11. He knew that he had the guidance from the Holy Spirit in order to raise Lazarus from the dead. So when he went there, he said, take away the stone. That boy's got to get out of there. And then when he spoke to Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Just like Joshua stood on that mountain in front of all Israel, and he said, moon, stop. Sun, stop. That's the kind of confidence, that's the kind of boldness that you have to walk in if you're going to manifest spiritual faith. So stop believing that you're so worthless. Start believing that you're a representative of Jesus Christ. Sure, you're saved by grace. Sure, you don't deserve it. That's a given. Don't even worry about that. It's understood. You don't deserve to be doing this. I don't deserve to be doing this. But He called us. This is His idea. Being led by the Spirit and operating the power of God and operating the faith of Jesus Christ is not your idea. It's not my idea. It's His idea. It's what He said to do. It's how He said to walk. That's right. And I'm not full of pride because I say this. I'm full of true humility because I believe what the Word says. So do you. So do you. The Word says, He that believeth on me, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That's right. I'll tell you something else about John 14:12. The word believeth is in the present tense active voice in the Greek. That's right. It means if you are going to do the works that Jesus did, you can't just believe on him at one time in your life and then expect to be able to do the works. It means that you continuously believe on Him. You are continuously walking in His power. You're continuously walking in His presence. You're continuously acknowledging Him. You're continuously trusting Him with all of your heart. See? This is how you walk with spiritual faith. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. You command it to come to pass. Because you have been filled with the knowledge of His will by revelation. You're being led by the Spirit and you know you're supposed to be there. You know you're supposed to be ministering to the person. You know you're supposed to be doing what you're doing. So you command it to come to pass. Peter and John went into the temple about the ninth hour here in Acts chapter 3. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. He fastened his eyes. Peter knew he was supposed to be there. He knew by the Spirit that he was supposed to minister to that man. He saw it in his spirit. He knew it in his spirit. He knew it. Before he ever walked into the situation, he knew he was going to minister to that man, and he knew that man was going to get healed. He knew it because he had received it by revelation. That's why he said to the man, look on us. He said, look on us. He commanded the man to look on them. He said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Here was the faith on the part of the man. That's right, to be healed. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That's right. Peter operated spiritual faith. He walked in confidence because he knew the will of his master. He knew Jesus said within his spirit, by way of the Holy Spirit, he said, I want you to minister to that man at the temple gate beautiful today. And when you walk in there, you take him by his right hand and you commanded him to rise up and start to walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter acted on that knowledge. That was spiritual knowledge. Then he opened up his mouth and he said, look on us. That was spiritual utterance. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. That again was spiritual utterance. And then he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That was spiritual faith. Peter was walking in love. Here was love and grace times spiritual knowledge or spiritual utterance plus spiritual knowledge plus spiritual faith. The result was that man was healed. That man was delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. And it says about 5,000 heads of families were delivered because of the deliverance of that one man, as Peter was filled with and operated spiritual faith, bringing God's power and God's deliverance into that situation.